Hello and welcome to Technology Today. This is your host, Rich Kesmer. On Technology Today, we discuss technology issues of the day and examine how all that technology out there is affecting our lives these days, and as I see every week, seems to be having a bigger and bigger impact as time moves on. And tonight we're very fortunate to have a guest in the studio. We have the owner of the station, Frank Napurano. Hello, Frank. How are you this evening?
Well, fine. I want to thank you very much for having me with you tonight. And it's quite an honor to be here. And first, I would like to say that you have gotten us out of so many scrapes here at the station that I'd like to just give you some public notice for that, because you have really helped us quite a bit here at the station with our computers.
Very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Speaking of computers here at the station, let's talk about the technology involved in running a radio station. So it's a lot of different devices here in the room with us. Mm-hmm. We could start anywhere you'd like.
Well, oh, boy. You know, I know you gave me a long list here, too. Mm-hmm. And this is, we can probably spend, as I said earlier, 18 hours on what it takes in radio to run a radio station. And, I don't even know where to start. Where would you like to start?
Well, one thing you had mentioned is maybe we want to kind of identify the difference between FM and AM from a technology standpoint.
Yeah, well, you know, radio, I think we all take radio for granted. It's always there, you know. It wakes us up in the morning and comes on automatically when we start the car and drive to work. And then most workplaces even have it on in the workplace. And, of course, on the way home again, and some of us listen at night, too. And I think a lot of the young people aren't too familiar with AM. AM, of course, there's two different types of radio, AM and FM. And AM is amplitude modulation. That's what it stands for. And FM, of course, frequency modulation. And I think people love FM because it's so quiet. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is because in AM, the modulation is in the amplitudes of the carrier wave, and FM is the frequency. Now, noise is a function of amplitude. So if you have a lightning storm or a thunderstorm, it's going to affect the amplitudes of the RF carrier. Mm-hmm. Whereas in FM, it's ignored, because in FM they actually shave off a lot of the peaks. Mm-hmm. And just use the frequency variations to carry the modulation. Mm-hmm. And, of course, FM and AM have different bands, and the AM is the lower frequencies between 55 and 1700 kilohertz, or 1.7 megahertz. And FM is up way up in the VHF region, and so up in that region, of course, things are more line of sight, and they're more likely to bounce off things and get interfered with during the summertime with atmospherics and all kinds of problems.
So with WDVR being an FM station, is there different equipment other than the fact that, you know, one supports AM versus FM? Or?
Well, if you walked into a studio of AM, it would be pretty much like this. You'd have a console. And you'd, of course, have to have microphones and CD players and computers and storage devices like our instant replay. Mm-hmm. But once you get out of the studio and you transfer the audio to the transmitter, that's where there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Now, in WDVR here, we have a audio processor which is right after the console. And that makes sure that we don't have any over-modulation. And it has within it a circuits that limit. In other words, if I hit this microphone very hard right now, that piece of equipment in that rack will clamp it down. Mm-hmm. It won't allow it to go over-modulate. Mm-hmm. And that also is, in within there, is a generator for the stereo.
Okay.
Now, some stations use a separate generator for stereo, but we have everything in one unit, and that actually creates the left and right audio signals that come out of this board and send it to the transmitter. And it's sent as a composite signal.
You mentioned that the audio processor would make sure there's no over-modulation. Does it have other functions as well?
Oh, yes, yes. You can, you know, you can add bass and treble, and you can sweeten up the signal, sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you do much?
No, we don't do very much processing. We don't care for that too much. If you listen to rock stations, you'll hear a lot of pumping and, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of pumping and loud. They bring everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is up at the top of the modulation envelope. Mm. Here we don't do that. We have very natural sound here.
Okay. Yeah. I always felt like this board in front of me is kind of the key piece of equipment.
It is.
And it's certainly mm-hmm. important, but it's the audio console, mm-hmm. in this case a D75 digital audio console. Mm-hmm. Can you explain all the functions involved in this?
Well, basically, when people come here for the first time, they're intimidated because it looks like a lot, you know, but this particular board has 12 channels, 12 audio channels, and each channel is fed by two sources, except for the microphones. We have four microphones there on your left, and each one of those is only fed one signal from one of these mics, one of these four microphones. The other channels have, like for instance, you have a channel there marked CD1, but also there's another source going into that channel for a turntable. Say, mm-hmm. by flipping a switch up on top, you can go to another source.
Mm-hmm.
So although we have 12 channels there, we really have 24 sources,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Yep.
And it's nothing more than a glorified mixer with a few extra things that radio stations require. In other words, you need a cue, so you can cue things off the air and hear things before you play them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all sorts of bells and whistles that we don't even use here. You could, you could start things automatically if we wanted to get into that. But
mm-hmm.
we try to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people here have never, when they came here, they never been in a radio station before. So we train them right from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to keep everything the same. Both we have two studios, as you know. And I guess you're usually in this studio, A.
Yes.
Yeah. This was our original studio. And when we bought all this new equipment, the new boards and the microphones, we built another studio, and that's Studio B. And everything is exactly the same. So that if you come in here and somebody is occupying Studio A, you can just go into Studio B, and I have it set up so that you can just press one little button and it switches studios.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. As a matter of fact, it's when Carla is getting ready for her show, she gets all her information into the instant replay, the digital storage device, and she's all set to go. And then when you're finished, she just presses a button and she's on.
Yep, we switch over from mm-hmm. Studio A to B.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is just a glorified mixer, and it has several outputs and has several different what we call buses. There's like three buses. You have a program bus, you have an audition bus, and an auxiliary bus that you can actually do things. Right now, as we're on the air, you could actually be doing something on the aux bus.
Mm-hmm.
You can be editing or recording and doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things we don't really get into here because it just complicates the matter, you know, complicates the what we want to do, and just makes things harder. More bells and whistles don't always help.
Oh, sure. Complicated, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then to my right, there's a bank of equipment here. There's CD players, cassette players,
mm-hmm.
And a telephone control. How about we talk about some of the equipment here?
Okay.
For a moment.
Yeah. Well, I think most people are familiar with the CD players.
Mm-hmm.
These are pretty much the same as you would use at home, only they're professionally made for professional use.
Mm-hmm.
They go for 24 hours a day, you know, so they have to be pretty hardy,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and they're quite expensive, and pretty much the same use as you would have at home. You could program things to play one after the other. You can play single cuts. And I think most people understand that. That's not a big deal.
And we can have, you know, and there's two of them, so that we can have something playing in one while we're queuing.
Yes, you always need two of everything in a radio station because, for instance, we have two turntables, too. We still actually play, as you know, vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 45s and 33s. And we still have quite a stock of vinyl. And you'd be surprised that a lot of the... CDs, the digital CDs, are not going to cover all the music that was made, between the last century and now.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very important LPs out there that will not be reproduced on CDs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then now I guess things are moving away from CD. I guess next would be what? Flash drives?
Just hard drives, yep.
Hard drives?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they're even getting away from mechanical drives. It's going to be all solid state.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, that other piece of equipment there, it's an instant replay, we call it. That's what the name of it is. And that is a digital storage device for audio. You can put in up to 1,000 different tracks in there and up to 24 hours of audio in that particular piece of equipment. And what we use that for on there, we have all our grant announcements, our identifications, IDs,
mm-hmm.
and promos and PSAs and all the special things that we do around holidays. And all you have to do is pull up, it has a master index that where we record everything, and you just pull them up and put them on those buttons. You have 50 buttons there that you could load. And actually, if we don't use more than one bank, but there's actually 5 banks besides those 50 buttons.
Wow.
So you can do like 500 things. You can pre-record or pre-set like 500 things.
Wow.
So, most of us just use one or two rows of numbers for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the digital world. And we also have a little thing called a mini disc machine, which is kind of going out of style now. For some reason, I hate to see it go, but these are little encapsulated, they look like little CDs, about maybe 2 inches by 2 inches. They're in plastic. And you can, with that machine, you can not only play what's on there, but you can record and also delete. So you can, it's beautiful for production because you can, if you make a mistake, you just delete it and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just, go to another channel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
And what else? Let's see, we still have a cassette machine there, too. Audio cassette tape. And that mainly is there because many of our, in our church program, they used to send tapes. So we still keep those. And we also keep them for recording programs.
Mm-hmm.
And we recommend that DJs record their shows because you start to do idioms like you knows and ahs and things like that, and if you don't check your own shows once in a while, you start to pick up bad habits.
Sure.
Mm. And what else do we have there?
We've also got the telephone control.
Yes.
To allow
this board also allows us to take in phone calls from any place and put them on the air. And that particular piece of equipment does that by allowing two-way communication between, like a telephone. It's just a normal telephone, and it takes the place of an extension, actually. And when the phone call comes in, you just hang up the usual phone and turn that on, and that becomes the extension.
Mm-hmm.
And that is equipped to feed the board directly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's pretty much a... It's a great thing because before we had that, when we had the old boards, we used to use a speakerphone. And the speakerphone wasn't very good because they couldn't hear the program. With this, they can hear the program plus the person they're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very good.
Yeah. And there's some old technology there, those cart machines. They look like eight tracks.
Yeah, they do.
But they're not eight tracks.
Yep.
They're we still use them only because people don't want them to go away. they got used to them, and it's kind of like a, like a security blanket.
Well, they're handy.
Yeah, they are handy. And what they are is when you record on them, some of them may be a minute long, some are 30 seconds, some are a couple of minutes long. And the first thing that happens when you record on them is it puts down a cue tone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has a cue track, and it has a left and a right track for the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your message on there, and then after that you stop the message or you end the message, you let it continue to play, and it automatically cues up again. So it's always ready to play.
Yep. Very good.
It's not like the old reel-to-reel tape that you could never find anything. This is instantly there.
Very good. All right, we'll take a quick break here. This is Technology Today with your host, Rich Kasmer. We're here on WDVR-FM, 89.7 in Delaware Township, translator station W220AG 91.9 in Lawrenceville, and WPNJ 90.5 in Easton. And tonight we're fortunate, we're speaking with Frank Neperano, the owner of the station here at WDVR. And by the way, you can listen along on your computer at www.wdvrfm.org. And we're talking about the technology involved in running the station. And just a reminder that it is fundraising month here at WDVR. So please give us a call or go to the website and make a donation. You can call the station here at 609-397-1620 and extension 5 or one of the other extensions and get in and make a donation or visit the website, again, www.wdvrfm.org. We certainly appreciate, as you can hear, there's a lot of technology involved in running the station. Frank, how many years have you run this station now?
Well, it was 1990, 23 years.
23 years. What's the biggest change you've seen in the technology in that time?
Oh, my. Digital, of course. Digital, everything is digitized nowadays. And, well, let's see. What else could it be? It has to be digital, and which we have switched over to in our boards. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know, I think most everything is recorded digitally these days. And but, you know, you always have to come back to analog eventually because the human ear is analog. So you start with analog, you go through digital and come back to analog. And I can't think of anything else that really changed all that much. Mm-hmm. But just the equipment, just better equipment and, of course, easier to operate and a lot more bells and whistles. And mm-hmm. You can do a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I guess another thing that you might consider a big change is the internet, because we stream live 24/7, and of course you can pick that up anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. any place where you have a connection, and we do have listeners in just about every continent we've heard from. Mm-hmm. And we have them down in Australia and of course Europe and the Orient and every place.
So what are the technologies involved in allowing that streaming to happen?
Well, you probably know more about that than I do, but what we do is we have an IP address, and we take our analog audio and from our processor, and we pipe that into the computer, and that is the IP is picked up off the internet. We send it on the internet to our server. Mm-hmm. We have a server, and they pick it up, and then they put it into their big pipe and put it out back on the internet.
Yep.
So there's just that one little link between us and the server,
mm-hmm.
and you're quite familiar with that because you helped us with that a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And they, of course, you can't, if you have a, you just can't put your signal on and have many different people using it because it takes bandwidth. It takes a lot of bandwidth, so you may get one or two people could listen to your IP. But mm-hmm. if you put it into a an organization that has these huge supercomputers with lots of bandwidth, they can send it out for hundreds of people at a time to listen, mm-hmm. or even thousands.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we get responses from all over the world.
Very, very neat. Yep.
Yeah.
How about some of the technology that's involved in supporting any requirements that might exist for a radio station, such as an emergency alert?
Yes, we have the, it's too bad we can't show people what we're talking about, but we have the alert, those three things underneath that blue light there, that's all the emergency alert system. Mm-hmm. And that is, of course, we can initiate an alert anytime if we had an emergency, or as far north as the White House itself, we could initiate a national alert, and it's like a daisy chain where one station would get the alert and pass it on to the next.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes you'll hear on WDVR, you'll hear another burst of digital information, but nobody says anything. That's because another station that feeds us is doing their weekly test. We have to do a test every week.
Mm-hmm.
and to make sure all the equipment is running. And this year, they also started to a connection to the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the Weather Bureau, we have the all the government, you know, you have the federal government, the state government, and even municipal government
mm-hmm.
can, in some cases, in big cities, they can initiate a disaster alert. And it automatically puts it on the air. So even if, for instance, if we're automated late at night, and an alert comes in, like this terrible tragedy up in Boston, it'll automatically take the music off the air and put the alert on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made to do that automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So no one even has to be here.
Yep.
It's a very good feature.
Good.
It's from the old EBS system mm-hmm. that we used to have.
What was EBS?
It was the same thing, but only a different name.
And
it wasn't as automated.
Okay. Yeah. EBS stands for Emergency Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So. And then, of course, there's the news and the weather. Those are required, correct?
No.
Oh, they're not?
No, they're not required. We do that as a service.
Oh, okay.
And I can't imagine having a radio station without news. Yeah, it's important. We do that every hour.
And what technology is involved in?
That comes in on the Internet right now. But we could have it satellite fed, but the problem here is we don't have room for the dish mm-hmm. back. We don't have the real estate behind the studio for that.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, maybe when the technology even advances, maybe they'll have smaller dishes and we'd be able to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about the transmitters and antennas. Can you talk a little bit more about them?
Oh, yes, sure. There's so many things. You know, we can do this every week for months because
sure.
This electronics and broadcasting is just a fascinating thing. And antennas are a study in themselves, as you might think, because, for instance, you notice that when you have a VHF antenna, it would be smaller than a lower frequency antenna. That's all because of the wavelength of an antenna. And there are, I don't want to get too technical, but there is a way to, if I were going to build an antenna, the first thing you have to do is figure out how long it has to be, because it has to be resonant at the frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that is you use the velocity of radio waves in space, which is 300 million meters per second, or 186,000 miles per second. And what you do is, for an antenna, it has to be a half wave to be effective. So, this is getting too complicated, I think, but you would figure out, for instance, if you had 300 million meters and you've changed that to feet by multiplying 3.28, you get the number of feet that is, then you divide it in half and get a half wave,
mm-hmm.
and then you would come down to a number that we ham radio operators use, number 468 over your frequency in megahertz, and you get the length in feet.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher the frequency, the smaller the wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
And the wavelength is actually the measure of one cycle of that frequency, either in meters or in feet.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, 89.7 is 89.7 megahertz, or 89.7 megacycles,
mm-hmm.
and that would be probably about 6 feet. That would be a half wave.
Interesting.
That would be like a 3 meters long.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That would be almost 9 feet, I guess. Yeah. That's. But as you go lower, like for a ham radio antenna that I use at home, I have several antennas, but just looking at thinking of that wire antenna I have, a dipole, that thing is 68 feet
mm-hmm.
for 7 megahertz.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were going down to 3.5 megahertz, the antenna would be like 125 feet.
Wow.
So the higher you go in frequency, the shorter the wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you get up to microwave. And microwave, you're talking about inches for a half wave.
Yep.
And you get up the gigacycle range, you know, you're talking less than 6 inches for a half wave antenna.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, that's why they can make those dishes so small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, we're just about out of time. Any other?
Well, there's so many things, we could talk about. I mean, mm-hmm. as far as stereo and That stereo is almost like magic, you know, the way they do that. It's incredible. It's actually a mathematical thing where they, I don't think you have enough time to go into it, but it's where you're using a matrix to create the left and right signals and, or, you know, create the composite signal. Mm-hmm. And then that's sent to a transmitter. That's a story for another day.
Yeah, I guess, as you said, there's so much we could talk about. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on and explaining all the technology.
Well, I hope I did some good. I hope I didn't cause any people to glaze over and fall asleep.
Very interesting. And again, to our listeners, please give us a call, make a donation. And a lot of technology involved in running the station. And Frank, thank you. And
you're quite welcome.
This has been Technology Today with your host, Rich Kazimer. Feel free to call me during the day with any computer questions at 908-237-2211. And have a great week, everybody. And we'll be back again next Tuesday.